Welcome to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so excited that you have joined us today. We'll be right back. Welcome, welcome, welcome to VFN Radio, and we're so glad that you're joining us.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to VFN Radio. Well, I'm John Ramos, and I'm filling in today for Greg Lancaster, and I'll be your host. Joining with me today in studio is Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello. How you doing today?
How you doing, Pat?
Doing good.
Very good. Well, I'm excited. Oh, my goodness. I want to give a couple shout-outs today. I want to give a shout-out to Joanne. It was great talking to you. Pat, she is sharing VFN Radio with all of her patients in New York Presbyterian Hospital. And she has VFN Radio playing live. So hello to everyone in the nurse's station.
Hello, Joanne.
In New York Presbyterian, you guys are doing an amazing, amazing job. Say hello to Dr. Oz for us, too. Also want to give a shout out to Pastor Debbie. Oh my goodness, holding it down in Patterson, Kichara and James. Oh my goodness. Man, you were lucky to go out there and visit with them.
Oh yeah, that was pretty beautiful. Oh yeah, they're great, awesome family.
That's awesome what their work that they got going on out there in Texas. It's so awesome.
Oh yeah.
And VFN Bronx. I want to give a special shout out to Justin. Dude, that was amazing. What happened Sunday? I heard all about it. Welcome to the family of God.
Awesome. Dude,
man, God's just doing just so many amazing things. It's so hard to keep up with it all.
Right.
So how you been, man?
Doing good. Loving this cooler weather.
Oh, I know. It is getting cooler, isn't it?
Oh, my goodness, yeah. I think it's waking up to like the 50s in the morning here lately.
Oh, man. Well, it's getting a little bit colder here. A little more colder in the 50s, but I can appreciate wearing a jacket and,
Yeah, I'm not broken out the jacket yet. Nope, by any means.
Oh, yeah.
Or the pants.
Definitely got the hoodie going on. Because it is getting cold. Well, I wanted to share with you, Pat, you know, the last time I left out there, the Gulf Coast, you know, I was there not too long ago. I had a pretty interesting situation, you might say. Yeah, a little bit. You know, we left and boarded the plane to head on mm-hmm. back to Jersey.
Right.
Now, mind you, if you're listening today, you know, I was in the studio that Monday, did the radio program Monday morning,
mm-hmm.
and shortly after that, boarded the plane to head back to New Jersey via Miami. Yeah, so we
a little backwards, wasn't it?
A little backwards. Had to fly all the way down to Miami, mm-hmm. and the first flight was not bad, you know, not bad. I think we were flying, I think it was American, which, by the way, I have to give a little plug to American. I've had, you know, flown on several mm-hmm. companies before, and they were pretty good. They weren't bad at all. So. You know, it's grueling. Got the family. You know, my 2-year-old daughter is making the trek here with us,
mm-hmm.
and she wants to be picked up all the time walking through these airports. It's very challenging. So we get to Miami, we board the plane, get everyone on there, and all of a sudden this plane is not moving.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, okay, we're waiting, and it never fails. Every time I leave Florida, last time I left Florida,
all right.
I think it was in the wintertime or something on a plane. In Atlanta, the plane was freezing over, so I had to wait for them to defrost the plane.
Oh, wow.
Okay. Yeah, that was a beautiful experience. Mm-hmm. Well, we're trying to leave, and the pilot gets on air and says, well, you know, we were experiencing difficulty with the plane. There's a part that needs to be replaced. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking, great.
Are they going to do that before you get on the plane?
Exactly. You're going to fix the plane here while we wait.
Right.
So, you know, it's 30 minutes, turns to an hour, turns, you know, to now an hour and a half.
Oh, wow.
So finally they say, well, you know, you can deboard the plane and you can wait, you know.
Right.
So it says, if you get off, though, you got to stay off until we board again. Can't, you know, come back and forth. So
right.
half the plane starts getting up. I'm getting out of there. I'm getting claustrophobic. Mm-hmm. Okay, need some air. So once we start moving, he says, okay, everyone has to get off the plane. So he takes everyone off the plane.
Right.
We sit down. Mm-hmm. I find a charger for my phone that's about to go out. Mm-hmm. And as soon as we sit down, right over the intercom, okay, we're going to be boarding back again. So we board the plane again.
Right.
And we're getting on the plane. And I'm noticing as I'm sitting there. Now, mind you, I'm just exhausted at this point. Mm-hmm. My daughter is wired on Coca-Cola. I don't know who gave her Coca-Cola.
What time was this?
Oh, my goodness. By this time, I'm supposed to arrive like at midnight. And it has to be like almost midnight at this time. Like it's like 11 o'clock or something.
Oh, wow.
And someone gave her Coke in Miami while we were eating this awesome Cuban sandwich place, by the way, which is very good in the airport.
Oh, wow.
But yeah, very, very, very good. So she's wired. Dude, she is like screaming. She is climbing on. And this is like not like I'm thinking, oh, no. I'm like my face is melting into my pockets. You know, it's like she is standing on
not
the chair.
Not my, come on.
She's talking to people. Like, oh, great. So I'm kind of delirious sitting out there, passed out, exhausted, watching Maya just terrorize the whole place. And, sit down, please. Please sit down. So I noticed that there's this lady a few chairs ahead. I'm going somewhere with this, okay? Because, you know, when you get on a plane these days, you know, I notice that people are looking at me and I'm looking at people. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. They're eyeballing everybody. Hey, it's almost like that look like, don't you try nothing funny up in here. Mm-hmm. Don't you try nothing funny up in here. So I'm noticing this woman, she's kind of short lady. She has this long, kind of curly, bushy hair, mm-hmm. and red hair, and it's over her face, and she has these little glasses, and she keeps getting up, and she keeps talking to the steward.
Yeah.
It's this huge male steward guy, mm-hmm. and I'm just watching this unfold, and she just, I mean, like, it seems like every 5 minutes, mm-hmm. she's getting up. And I can see that the steward's getting a little annoyed at this point. You know, mm-hmm. it's like, this has been a long drama here. We're trying to get off the plane. Mm-hmm. So finally, the plane starts to start moving.
Yeah.
This lady who's been getting up, I mean, I kid you, like everyone around is looking like, why is she getting up? What's happening here, you know? Mm-hmm. She gets up to say something to the steward, and the steward literally almost chases her back in the chair. She goes, sit. Down. I mean, the whole place almost erupted. It was just like,
oh my goodness,
a sigh of just so much tension. So she started laughing. This poor woman.
Are you serious?
Poor thing. He starts to chew her out. He says, "I don't have any vouchers. I told you, I don't have any vouchers."
Oh my gosh!
I guess she was wearing him out for a voucher because of the delay.
Oh,
but
no.
She got an earful. I mean, note to self. Listen, if you're flying on the airlines, don't harass the steward or the stewardess because they're going to tell on you. They're going to tell on you. But, man, she was wearing him out, and he goes, sit down, sit. I'm thought, oh, no, she's going to get a spank. You know what I'm saying? This is going to be bad. And you didn't hear people to her the whole time. She sat down and she didn't get up again. You know, you cause a disturbance on that plane, you know, they can escort you right on out and mm-hmm. put you to another confined space. You know what I mean? So we finally arrived at Jersey at 4 a.m. Actually, at 3:30, I went to bed at 4. Mm. So nightmarish, but we made it. But the next day when I looked at the news and realized that there were other American Airlines seats that were unscrewed to the plane, I thought, well, you know, this is not bad. You know, this
was the same airline? Oh, no.
Same day.
Oh, no.
But, you know, and God's news behind it is, I don't know if you saw this. I don't know if you saw this, and maybe some of our VFN radio listeners today have saw this, but yeah, did you hear about this guy, Felix Baumgartner?
The name sounds familiar.
Well, if his name doesn't sound familiar, probably what he did, probably really you'll remember him. This is the guy that most recently jumped out of a capsule.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And, I mean, he almost went, like, basically to
So what is a capsule?
Say it again?
What's a capsule?
it's this, I don't know, it's like a space capsule.
Mm-hmm.
But it was attached to like an air balloon.
Right. I think it was a helium balloon, right?
A helium balloon. This was absolutely amazing. I'm going to see if we're going to play a clip over the air, and I'm going to try to say a couple things. Just listen to this. It's going up. So the balloon is filling up.
Mm-hmm.
And you see this capsule's going, you know, higher and higher and higher. This guy climbs into this. He's got a spacesuit. Now, he's been jumping off of things for a long time.
Right.
Okay? So he's going up.
It's still climbing, and it'll start be moving here in a little bit.
So they're actually lifting it up with a crane. Okay?
Right, right.
To sound a little bit better for you, but it's being lifted up on a crane, and all of a sudden you see this capsule, you know, going higher and higher and higher,
mm-hmm.
and higher. He finally gets up to 128,000 feet.
Wow.
Dude, this is huge. Okay. And so he is about to jump. They said he was at the very edge of space.
Mm-hmm.
So this video we're going to make available for you on the Torch. He's in this capsule. It looks like it has like some computer, you know, electronic data. I don't know what in the world, what it's measuring, but it's measuring something. And he's sitting inside this capsule. And then he opens the hatch.
Mm-hmm.
And his view, I mean, he's literally looking at the Earth. I mean, yeah. You can see this in the video. He's looking at mm-hmm. the Earth. And it's the most amazing, amazing view. You would think he's in space. And my understanding is that he's literally at the edge between,
yeah.
you know.
Yeah, I think they call it like the stratosphere. He was like 20-something miles above the Earth. Can
you believe that? See? And you see this picture. Now, I'm thinking, you know, he fall, you know, I'm thinking, you better make sure you jump out of this thing. I mean, there is no way to come back down unless you jump.
Right.
It's up 128,000 feet, and all you see is Earth. I mean, like, you see some blue stuff, some brown stuff, but you don't know,
yeah.
you know, if you're going to land in another country, if you're going to hit a building, and there's no other way to get down.
Yeah, how do you aim that, right?
Exactly. I'm going to fall there,
mm-hmm.
you know, and you got to think about it. You see people jumping off of bungee stuff, and you see people get up and they go, oh, never mind. I'm going to go back down. You know, all these mm-hmm. cliff divers. I don't have the nerve to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he went up on his capsule. There is no backing down. How do you get down 128,000 feet from space when you were drug up there? I mean, that's one way to make sure you're going to jump. So he jumps. He goes 833 miles an hour.
Wow.
In 4 minutes, dude. 4 minutes. And he just comes just flying down. He's the first human to break the sound barrier.
So you did know. He like bounce? What happened?
Dude, he comes all the way down. It was a perfect landing on his feet.
Right. How did that happen?
Well, he opened.
Did he have like an airplane strapped on his back? I mean, how did he come down?
No, he jumps out, and he has his parachute.
Oh, a parachute. Okay.
Yeah, he has his parachute, and it takes. Yeah, he doesn't fly down on his own. He doesn't.
Oh,
he doesn't
fly okay. Okay.
Well, he kicks the parachute, and you're thinking, "Oh my goodness, you better hope this thing works." You know what I'm saying?
Right, no doubt.
And his parachute, he's just flying. Straight out, I just thought it was absolutely remarkable. You think, wow, this is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And he lands on his feet, and it was successful. And it reminds me of another time that we jumped, which I'm going to talk about here in a minute. But but I'm thinking about the perspective when you're looking. It's just one astonishing picture when you see him, and he opens up this latch to this capsule.
Mm-hmm.
And he's standing on the edge of it. They did such an amazing job making sure that they captured video from all the way around. You got to capture video on this thing. And it worked, you know. Mm-hmm. But he's looking at the face of the earth. And he's getting ready to jump.
Mm-hmm.
And you think, oh my gosh. I mean, you got some people getting, I don't know if I could do a bungee jump. You know what I mean?
Right.
Much less jumping out of, almost out of space.
Mm-hmm.
And then I look at perspective. You know, I think about God's perspective. And I think about how God is always looking at us. You know, I think sometimes that we fail to recognize this perspective. We fail to recognize that, you know, we get caught up sometimes in our everyday grind. You know, go to work, take care of the kids get off to school, and you're just doing life and doing everything. And you're living just within this maze, if you will, right?
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you wonder, like, you're tempted to wonder, you know, does God see what's happening? Does God know what's going on? You know, I want to encourage you today that if you're going through something today, if you're going through some struggles, it's amazing how you could be going through the darkest times in your life, or you could be going through some challenging moments, and yet because you've learned how to say the right things, nod the right way, give the pleasant, you know, the pleasantries. Yes, yes, everything's great. Everything's good. Change the story, you know, the topic to who won the game last night. Meanwhile, on the inside, you're dying.
Mm-hmm.
And you wonder how everyone can talk about all this frivolous stuff that's going on. In the meantime, you're facing a challenge in your life. You're facing something in your finances, in your employment. You're facing a family struggle. You're facing a crisis in your health. And yet life is going on as usual. Life is, and it's like there's no perspective. There's no grit. And people don't even know.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're tempted to wonder, does God even see? Does God even see? You know, and the great thing about God, he doesn't have a bird's eye view, Pat. Mm-mm, mm-mm. He has a heaven's eye view. You know what I'm saying? He has a heaven's eye view, and he sees yesterday, today, and tomorrow all at the same time.
Mm.
God sees everything all at the same time. I mean, he even knows the very hairs of your head. They're all numbered by God. And he sees everything. And so your eyes haven't escaped. And the Bible says that the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth. His eyes are searching. He is aware. He is concerned. He knows about the very thing that you're going through in your life. He knows about your struggles. He knows about your joys. He knows about your pain. And he desires to have an intimate relationship with you. I'm looking forward to our discussion here today on VFN Radio, because we're here to educate. We're here to illuminate through God's word and to inspire you and to activate you, but also to bring you hope. Let me tell you today that Jesus Christ loves you. You know, Pat, when I was coming to Jesus, that was the most consoling thing. I said, man, mm-hmm. the world may love me, but at least Jesus loves me.
That's right.
Yeah. If I said it once, I said it 1,000 times. I'm not at a place in my life where I can turn down that type of love. I'm just sorry. I just can't. You know what I mean?
I know, that's right.
And he loves you. He loves you. And the Word of God says that he is an ever-present help in the time of trouble. There's no place that you can go. There's no situation you can find yourself. There's no trouble. There's nothing that you could have done that God will turn away his gaze from you.
Mm.
That is so reassuring. Because let me tell you, man will forget about you.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they're flawed.
Mm-hmm.
They are flawed, right?
That's right.
Right?
Yes. Yes, definitely.
Are flawed.
Yeah, some more than others.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm the chiefest of flawed.
Yeah, exactly. So he's there.
Mm-hmm.
He's there. Sometimes we just need perspective. You know, sometimes when your back is against the wall and you can't turn to the right and you can't turn to the left and you can't turn to the things that you've been turning to before in the past, because the credit card is maxed out, because this person can't help you, and because these resources are all depleted, and this person is left. So you can't turn to the right or to the left, and your back is against the wall. You can't move any further back. You couldn't push back those bills anymore. I mean, they are due. you can look up.
Right.
And when you look up, don't be surprised to see eyes looking back at you. You know, because God's looking. He is concerned. He's just wanting to get our attention. He's wanting us to make eye contact, if you will. He's wanting us to recognize that, you know what? He's there for us. He's there for us. And one of the biggest things that we can do that causes us to forget that is to get so self-absorbed and become so narcissistic and so, you know, focused just on what's going on in our life and woe is me, that we forget that God is present. God is there. God is an ever-present help in the time of trouble, and he just wants us to reach out to him. His arm is not too short, and his ear is not too dull. And let me tell you, he has perfect vision.
Mm.
All you need is perspective. He sees yesterday, today, and tomorrow all at the same time. He's just waiting for you to look back at him. We'll be right back.
You know, it's so important, Pat, to you know, you may have a desire in your heart that you want to go deeper in God.
Mm-hmm.
And you may not see a way to do that, or you may be looking at a way that seems a lot different than you feel that you're called to in your heart. It's just really, you know, when you want to know the way of God. You want to know what he wants. He's called us to do three very simple things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the great commandment is to love God, right?
Right.
Love our heart, soul, mind, and strength.
Right.
And love our neighbor as ourselves, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then the great commission is to lead other people to love God.
Right.
Which
right.
is love God, love others, and lead others to do the same. You know, that is so important that you need to be trained up, you know, to be discipled in God and just the basic discipleship. But once you get to that point and you're ready, you feel like you're called and you want to go into the Great Commission and everybody's called to go out and share the good news of Jesus Christ. You know, think about VFNU, Vine Fellowship Network University. You know, it begins to change the mindsets of the world and the mindsets of religion, because you have to be empowered by God, endued by his spirit to be able to go out and be witnesses for him.
Right.
And you know, I mean, VFNU is just so, I mean, I don't know. All we know is that God is blessing it. It's a revelation from the Lord. I mean, every time that you go in, you're thinking, my goodness, it can't get any deeper than that, or it can't get any and the next wave of revelation that comes. And what it is, it's like precept upon precept. And by the time you come through VFNU, if you properly went through VFNU as a disciple of Jesus Christ, you're going to find out, man, I am ready to obey God. I can see clearly now.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And so if that's you, if you want to be trained up for the harvest field, you want to, you know, maybe you're called to do for a church plant, that there's something inside of you. You've been wanting to plant a church for some time. And just like Peter Wagner recently said on VFN Radio and Steve Hill, that the hope for turning a country around or a nation around or America around is a rapid church planting movement. Well, we're looking for you.
Right.
We want to partner with you. We want to encourage you. You need to come and check out VFNU.org, Vine Fellowship Network University, VFNU.org, and maybe that's for you. Pat.
Yes.
Technology is amazing the way things are going, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, people are just so, we get, you know, things are moving so quick. You remember, you used to have to, I don't know if you might, you remember dialing the phone?
Yeah.
The dial?
Yeah.
It's like, oh, you mess up like on the seventh number or something, the sixth number. It's like, oh, man, they have 3 8s or zeros in their number. It's like, oh, my goodness. You love those, like, 1 2 2 1. You probably don't even know what we're talking about, you know, a lot of the generations listen. But listen, people text today, and the text sends a text message, and it goes all the way to China.
Right.
And it lasts, I don't know, it takes about 6 seconds to get there. And we go, hurry up. You know?
I know.
Isn't that crazy?
I know.
Oh, my goodness. But, you know, think about this. You can subscribe to VFN TV. It's free to subscribe. And you can have access to everything. And, of course, we want you to have everything, you know, by texting.
Mm-hmm.
You can actually take your phone and text, if you can text, the letters V as in Victor, VFN TV.
Mm-hmm.
That's VFN TV to the number 22828. Did you know that? You text, this is how simple it is.
Mm-hmm.
And it's that quick.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You can text VFN TV to the number 22828, and it'll walk you through a few little simple processes, And next thing you know, you'll be fully subscribed and you can log in to all the wonderful things that are available for you on VF at VFNTV.com and on your Android phones and your Apple phones and your iPads. And I don't know all the things going on there. That's just so neat, isn't it?
That's awesome.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
Just text VFNTV to the number 22828. That's VFNTV to the number 22828. I just want to say this before we go in this first hour. You know, I think about that Promise Keepers when Coach McCartney began, you know, God touched his heart and he began to share with his friend about, we just got to get men together and we got to get people together. And two men, one man, then two men, then 40 men, as they began to do this and build small groups of men around America, then eventually that filled stadiums. But the stadiums weren't filled because Coach McCartney had an idea. Mm-hmm. It was because God wanted to begin to get men in small groups and begin to show them himself. And so that happened. Mm-hmm. But the problem is when it came out of the stadiums, it just died out.
That's right.
And what God birthed in us at that particular point was, what is the next step after the stadiums? And if you go look at our history, our history started with Next Step. And it was it wasn't just an idea. It was like, what's the next step after the stadium? Because these men were alive. They went back to sleep and they got seduced again. They went back to where they were when they were dead. They came out. They came alive in the stadiums and the small groups. And they went back in the dust. So what was the problem? And then we went through a process of repentance where we went into the wilderness to repent for the turning the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers, and God moved mightily. We finished that aspect of it. And then we went with the traditional model of what we've seen happen, and all we realized that is what's producing the death. And we had to stop that. Then God called us out to begin to birth, you know, what we're doing today, understanding that God wants his church back. And I think about this. I think about Reverend Billy Graham worked really hard. I mean, they would start probably a year, 9 months in advance to focus and fill one particular stadium. And he would go in there, the stadium, and everybody worked so hard to bring whoever to come into that stadium and fill those seats to be able to preach the gospel to them once. Once that all of a sudden people would find God, people would get saved. And they, and he transformed a lot of our nation and our presidents and all the things because he just preached the gospel one stadium at a time. And you think about this, you think about how very specifically that here we are today.
Right.
And what we're finding out that God's called us to stadiums. We've seen the stadiums fill with people. We've seen them fill with people all across the nation. We've seen them. We've seen them crying out to God, and we've seen this taking place. But what's going to happen first, like the groundwork happened to Reverend Billy Graham when he began to work and do what was going on. He would begin to do the work, and then the stadium would be filled to preach the gospel once. But what we found out is this, in VFN Radio, based on what we're understanding at this present point, that when we share with over the 900 million people that are available right now and they're connected in the social media atmosphere, there's 1/6 of the world's population, that if we share with them VFN TV and the VFN Radio program, that out of every dollar that we use to share it with them, one of them comes and sits in our virtual stadium. And they don't come, and they like us on Facebook, or they connect to us and download our app, but they like us. And so $1 produces someone sitting in that seat based on what we presently see. Where, think about it. So, and with Reverend Billy Graham, who did an awesome, awesome thing for the Lord, he preached once to him. But with VFN TV and the data radio program, when you sit in our virtual stadium, when you sit and listen and you have your VFN TV app, you have your VFN radio, you have Facebook, you have the VFN Torch. I mean, it's just, you're just every day the gospel is coming to everybody who sits in our stadium. When you help fill that stadium, that virtual stadium, for $1 per person, it looks like, think about it. I mean, if you just write $10 a month, you can fill 10 more seats in this virtual stadium. The probability is just huge. I mean, think about it. Even $100 a month, 100 new seats get filled a month. You have this 1,200 seats that you filled yourself all by yourself, or maybe even a dollar. We can begin to transform instantly. Think about it. I'm looking right now at a particular article on a broadcast that we had over 73,000 people. Think about that. That's a stadium of 73,000 people that heard the prophetic word over what's taking place on one particular segment. Be a part of it. Let's turn the heart of this nation, and we can turn the heart of this nation by filling this virtual stadium. And if we'll fill this virtual stadium, this is what I believe. We'll fill stadiums all around this nation, but they first have to be filled, and the gospel has to be sown into their hearts now. How can you do that? Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. Click on fill the stadium now, and maybe it's $1 a month. Maybe it's $2 a month. Maybe it's $100 a month. By doing that, you fill the virtual stadium, and we can preach the gospel every single day to them, where Reverend Billy Graham only preached it once. And look at the return. We can turn the heart of this nation. Do it now. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving.
Welcome. Hey, well, you know, we were just talking about the jump from almost near out of space. And I thought, oh, my goodness, gosh, if you didn't listen to that, you need to get God's perspective on how he sees you, how his eyes are upon you, and what his perspective is from heaven. It was so, so good and so amazing.
Yeah, it was good.
But, you know, Pat, I was thinking about, you know, this whole jumping thing. It still's got me a little bit, you know, a little shaky here in my boots here. Do you remember the time? Remember the time that we went down the river, and we saw a tree? And for some reason, I don't know whose idea that was. Maybe it was Chris's.
I don't know
whose idea that was.
It wasn't my idea. I was just there.
We're floating down this river, this lazy, dirty river, in a nice raft, mm-hmm. and we see this tree. That's half broken. This is a monstrous tree now. It's mm-hmm. pretty huge.
Right.
And it was broken, not completely, but it was broken. Mm-hmm. And it was broken in a way that you could actually climb and walk up the tree. Mm-hmm. And we started seeing that people were jumping off of this tree. Mm-hmm. Now, when I saw it, I thought, that sounds pretty.
Wasn't there a rope?
Well, on one side, there was a rope for another kind of tree, but on this particular tree, they were side by side. This particular tree.
Oh, yeah.
If you remember, people were walking up this tree, which
right.
I look back and think, what? See, this was many, many, many years ago.
Yeah.
Many, many, many years ago. But wisdom would have been good at this moment. Wisdom would have been good.
Yeah.
But you're walking barefooted up this tree. Mm-hmm. It was a pretty big tree now. It's like it's really huge, but mm-hmm. but still, we're walking on this tree when we're seeing these people jump from this tree, and thinking, "Oh, that looks too cool." Mm-hmm. And this part of the river, I guess, was deep, so they weren't hitting bottom yet, mm-hmm. but they were just jumping.
Yeah,
and I don't know who was the first one to run up there. I think it was Chris.
I believe it was me.
So we went up there and. We're climbing up this tree, and I'm noticing we're getting higher and higher. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking, oh, this ain't good. This is not good. That'd be about 20 feet.
At least. 20 feet? Yeah, 20, 25 feet. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you think 20 feet's not that high. I'm thinking about this guy jumping out of 128,000 feet.
Yeah, looking up, it doesn't look high. Looking down,
oh my
different
goodness.
Story.
And you're falling into water. It's not like you can't really like hurt yourself, I guess. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
No, you can. Yes, you can.
Yeah. I remember when I jumped out, I was looking at the water.
You went face first.
And I did a face plant.
Oh
my gosh. Well, I, you know, needless to say, I think we all survived it. But there was a point there where you're thinking, you can't walk down from here. You got to jump. You got to jump. Mm-hmm. And I think, Chris, I think you even have a picture of me jumping. I have to get that picture from you again. But it was amazing how we just jumped off of there. I was like, here it is. I'm going to go for it. I'm going to go for it.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes, you know, faith is a lot of times just like that, you know, where, you know, fear is the opposite of faith. Mm-hmm. And it'll try to creep up on you. And even though you've seen someone else do it, you know, you can't operate off of someone else's faith.
Right.
You know, you have been given a measure of faith. Each one of us, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you've been given a measure of faith. And you can't ride off of someone else's faith. I mean, when I was up there, I had to decide, you know what I'm saying? I couldn't use someone else's faith. I had to decide whether I was going to challenge this fear that was creeping. Uh-oh, this is not going to be good. You know, I remember falling. You ever like fallen in a dream? Because I've never fallen like this before, but just like you feel like you're never going to land. Mm-hmm. You know, I was like, oh, well, this is how it felt like when I was like, oh my goodness, when am I going to land? I'm not going to hit. Mm-hmm. This is what it felt like. It's just like your heart and you just get fluttered like, oh my goodness. Mm-hmm. But that's what it's like when you're stepping out and you're stepping out and you're trusting God. You know, you've got to move in faith. You can't move in fear. Mm-hmm. And you have to deal with that fear because fear will always try to come against the very thing that God's called you to do. Try to sow doubt in you or try to get you to look at what ifs. You know, what ifs are really bad. You know,
yeah.
What if this and what if that and what if this and what if that? It's like, what about God?
Mm-hmm.
What about God? If you focus on fear, you'll never jump.
Right.
But if you focus on your faith and if you focus on your vision and you focus on what God's called you to do and you focus on what God's word says, you're not jumping blindly. You're jumping on the solid rock. You're jumping on what is true, what is right. And that's God, his word. He's dependable. He's faithful. So I want to encourage you that no matter what you're looking at, you're facing, you know, it's okay to trust God. It's okay to believe God. It's okay to exercise your faith because faith must be exercised.
Mm-hmm.
It must be exercised. It must be employed. It must be activated. And let me tell you, when you do that, you're going to see incredible things happen. You know, what did John G. Lake say? He says, you know, God calls you to do something, step out in bold faith and he'll meet you every time.
That's right.
This is a man that was used mightily by God in all kinds of healings and all kinds of stuff. There are many, many years of faithful ministry, but we can trust him. He's dependable. He's just Absolutely. So dependable. Well, I'm so excited. We got so many things to be talking about. It's still in the first hour and, of course, in the extra hour. I want to encourage you to visit the Torch. I want to encourage you to go to VFNTV.com and click on the VFN Torch. There's so many updates and highlights. And you have the chance and the opportunity to subscribe to the VFN Torch newsletter.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, there's just so much more that you're going to get a chance to receive. And it'll bring great encouragement, not only to you, but to those that you'll be able to share. You know, over the last couple of days, we've just been having just tremendous time on air with our VFN Radio listeners. I want to give a shout out to some of our new VFN Radio listeners, James, Augustine, Donna, Bobby, Monique, Jacqueline, Thomas, Christine. Oh, my goodness. You guys are so encouraging. There's so many. We love the interaction on Facebook and your comments. You know, this is what it's all about. It's the chance to be able to share the hope that we have in God and just to educate and to be a witness during this time, to be shed light in some really, really dark times that we're facing. You know, yesterday and the day before, we talked about the beast economy and how there's an emerging economy that's emerging. I mean, you're looking at what's happening in the economy today. You know, look at what's going on. This is serious. This is serious. And the Bible tells us that there's a beast economy. It's happening. It's going to transition. You're looking at $4 billion a day that America creates in debt. $4 billion. What's that? B. And I just heard again, this is this prophetic term that I believe Greg spoke about it first, and all of a sudden I'm hearing everywhere about a fiscal cliff. A fiscal cliff. I just heard a Senator Coburn who just talked about this fiscal cliff that we're approaching. And at some point, we're going to transfer to this beast economy. And so you got to look at what are the signs? What begins to happen when Satan's economy begins to emerge and to formulate? And we talked about just the other day that you can almost sense, Pat. Mm-hmm. You can almost sense it's like chess pieces being moved in the global economy. There's just so many things transitioning. I think, believe it, even today, Spain was just spared being downgraded by Moody. Just today, it's like all of this stuff in Europe is still happening, and they're trying to do everything they can to slam on brakes while they're squealing at every turn. I mean, it's just like it at some point, these brakes are just going to give on out.
All right.
It's just common sense. If you don't, you know what I'm saying? You can't stop something. Mm-mm. That is, you know, this is not good. Right. This is not good. So this emerging economy is taking place. And what's going to happen with this beast economy, you're not going to be able to buy or sell without the mark. Mm. You're not going to be able to buy or sell without this mark. And all this is happening in earshot of a snoring church. All this is happening in a church that right now, presently, is not even awake to some of the things that are happening on the face of the earth.
Right.
When you have 19% of the church, according to George Barna, abiding daily, spending time with God, reading his word on a daily basis, that means that 80% of professing believers don't even read the word of God. Wow. Don't read the word of God. We have a problem. there is a problem. And so in the program we talked about and Greg shared this in regards to with technology and terms of use and agreement, you've got to go to the torch. You've got to go to the torch, and you can search under Mark of the Beast, click here to accept. Mm-hmm. And it's about all these terms of agreements that this research was done, and basically this panel was discussing how people basically are not reading the terms of agreement. You know, when you download a program or you download a software, mm-hmm. it tells you, hey, click to agree. And right. There's big legalese and all this information, and most people just read right, you know, don't even read through it, but just move the cursor down. It yeah. shows that they read it, but they didn't read it.
Yep.
And click, I agree. Mm-hmm. And this panel is saying that they know that. The people that write these terms know that people don't read them. And so we talked about we can see how in the future people will be able to click, right, accept the mark just by clicking, because they never read the terms of agreement. Mm. And you're seeing technology today. You know, when you know, technology has increased in such a way today that you can literally see all the pieces, everything that the Bible has spoken to us for years, all coming together. We could really see this in our generation, but there's technology called the the RFID chip.
Mm. Right.
RFID. Do you know what that stands for?
What's that?
Radio frequency ID. Mm. And I want you to listen, because they have this technology now that they're placing in credit cards and in debit cards. And I want you to listen. I want you to hear how this works. This is eye-opening, and this is something that we have to be educated on, because it's just that simple. It's things, when things are being introduced, you need to be paying attention. Things just don't happen. If you notice that, you know, the reason why the frog didn't jump out of the boiling water,
right,
was because that water was getting hotter and hotter and hotter by degrees, by new products, by new things that were introduced, and it got acclimated to the environment and just never jumped out. Well, mm-hmm. you know, this is what's happening right now. There's new products and new technologies, and there's new ways of transitioning us to use money in a way that's going to be very, very easy for people just to accept the chip. I want you to listen. And we're going to come back and we'll talk more about this, but just listen up, because this is really going to shed some light on what's happening. I'm trying to get it.
Debit and credit cards like this one. 13 Investigates has discovered a tiny device inside these cards that may be putting you at risk for fraud. Investigative reporter Bob Siegel shows you how to tell if your credit card is one of those affected and the simple steps you can take to protect yourself.
Whether you're buying groceries or gas or dinner to go, nowadays you can just wave your card and you're on your way. It's the latest technology in millions of credit and debit cards, thanks to a tiny chip hidden inside. It's called RFID, Radio Frequency Identification. This little device sends out a radio signal with your credit card information. It's designed to be a faster way to pay at stores all over town. But if you have one of these cards, there's something else you should know.
That's just really scary.
That's crazy.
What you're seeing is there's this, the credit cards, and embedded in the cards are these RFID chips, these radio frequency identification chip. Mm-hmm. And what it does is it sends out a frequency so that, guess what, Pat? You know that it's so hard for you to reach back into your wallet, take mm-hmm. your card, and swipe it through that machine. I'll tell you, that's so burdensome.
Right.
That, it takes so much time just to go swipe.
Right.
Help you out with that. You don't have to swipe anymore. All you have to do is just lift your card up, mm-hmm. and your card will send out a radio frequency to, I guess, their receiver, and it will accept the payment.
Wow.
These are chips that are embedded in the card, and you'll know it. That we're going to have this on the torch for you today, and you'll be able to see a picture of it so you can check your card out to see if you actually even have this. There's about they give a number. I believe it's about 1 million of these cards already out already, and they're doing this experiment. Well, just listen up.
Your credit card might not be as safe as you think it is.
With what I have here, I can get your credit card number, your expiration date, and everything I need to make a clown card.
Walt Augustinowitz is a credit card protection specialist. He bought this credit card reader off the internet for less than $100, and he's about to use it at the Indianapolis airport.
Oh. Credit card number right here.
Oh my gosh.
Is it?
Yes, it is.
Wow.
That's scary.
With permission, Walt is scanning for credit card numbers.
So what he's doing, they have this guy, this is kind of, you know, investigation, and this gentleman has the equipment that he purchased over the internet, Pat, mm-hmm. for like less, you know, just for a few bucks over the internet,
right.
Where he is able just to, he has the device in like this just little like, you know, iPad case or whatever, you know, mm-hmm. just like a little thing. And he asked the people in the mall to pull out, you know, their credit card, to pull out their bag, not even their credit card. Mm-hmm. And so this lady has it still in the billfold, and he just puts, you know, waves his bag next to her card.
Yeah.
And the laptop right next to him, he says, "Is this your credit card? Is this your credit card?" And they're shocked that any person can now, with this simple technology, with buying devices over the internet, can be standing in line.
Yeah.
Purchasing something. You could be anywhere and someone just move their little bag right next to you.
Mm-hmm.
Next to your purse.
Right.
And read off your number. But it gets even more interesting. Okay. This is radio frequencies that you're putting out.
Mm-hmm.
He's intercepting the credit card information right off the radio chip inside.
Do you have that Amex in that?
Yes.
Yeah.
So he's reading it right off.
Mm-hmm.
He's taking the information off, and he's telling them one by one. But he goes on later in this you know, in the segment here. And by the way, one of the ways that you can see for your card, it looks like kind of like half circle marks. If your card has the term blink, or it has you'll know, you turn the back of your card normally where there's that 3-digit security.
Right.
You can actually see the chip embedded in the plastic.
Right.
Okay. You can opt out of this too, but with your bank. So that's important for you to know this as well. But with that, he goes on further. All of the banks, they're all saying Visa, MasterCard, they're all saying this is completely safe.
Yeah.
There's no way this can be tampered with. There's no way that you can pick this up. This gentleman shows on the video, and we have a little problem here with the video, but shows on the video with a simple, again, another little device that he purchased on the internet. He can take your information.
Mm-hmm.
And with the hotel card, the hotel plastic card with the magnet strip, was able to encode the lady's credit card onto the hotel card. And the video shows him walking into McDonald's and buying a drink. A drink!
Mm.
Can you imagine this? This technology is not safe. I mean, the guy shows you right then and there, this is not safe technology. Mm-mm. And so he goes on to say that they've even used this at big department stores and bought televisions with these cards.
Oh my goodness.
You know? And he, of course, he did this all with the person's permission, and he's actually selling some technology to be able to help people, you know, not to be taken like this. In fact, one of the things he shows is that you can actually wrap up that card in aluminum foil. Mm-hmm. But why would we even go to that extent?
Okay, yeah, let's back up.
Why do we even go to that extent? Mm-hmm. It's not good. It's just not good. And you're starting to see a transition. You're starting to see things being introduced into the economy that could cause you to think, this is not good. You know what I'm saying? I have been told about this before. This is like biblical perspective here.
Right.
Well, let's go on a little bit further. Is this really that dangerous? Is this an isolated incident? Well, we have another video that we're going to try to make available to you today on The Torch. But do you remember that program, Mythbusters?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's still on.
Well, it's still on. It's Discovery Channel. Well, we have this video where apparently one of the guys was doing some sort of conference. He was speaking someplace, and someone asked him a question. You know, basically, are they going to start doing RFID? Mm-hmm. You know,
right.
You know, Mythbusters is a program where two guys, smart guys, try to figure and these things out in terms of myths and...
Yeah, they try to debunk, you know, certain things. If it's real or not, yeah.
If it's real or not. So they wanted to experiment. So he goes on to say that he gets on, one of the people gets on the phone with Texas Instrument to be able to because they make these chips, to talk about it. When these two people call up for this regular meeting, they are met on the line by the lawyers of American Express, Visa, and I believe MasterCard. I mean, like the top echelon lawyers, saying, "You will not do this program."
You're kidding.
They're literally saying, "You know, you're not going to do this program. This is not going to happen." You know what I'm saying? They threw so much legal information to them that they discovered just backed off. This is just according, you know, to the guy from Mythbusters is saying. You'll see this on the video. But, you know, allegedly this is what happened, and you got to think, why? What is it to this? We're talking about the beast economy. Mm-hmm. We're talking about the beast economy. You got to think about it. You know, what is happening right now on the face of this earth is very, very important. And we got to pay attention. As believers, you got to pay attention. You got to be alert. We can't be clicking through any kind of terms of agreements. We can't be just, you know, doing business as usual. Mm-hmm. But it's time to be alert. The economy is going to completely change. It's changing before our eyes. Mm-hmm. The problem is that it takes sometimes a little bit of time. There's a transition that occurs, and what happens is that you can fall asleep in the midst of this transition, but don't fall asleep. I mean, the Lord showed me that in six minutes in this prophetic dream, that the economy was going to be over, the world's going to be over as we know it, that the economy was going to fall. Mm-hmm. In this dream, the reporter is standing in the New York Stock Exchange. She's breaking news, Pat.
Right.
It's which, you know, now when they break news, they tell you 35 minutes in advance before they break news at 12 o'clock, you know, what it's all about. It's like, okay, are you breaking news or what is this, a pre-commercial? But this was like, you know, done as when it was done before the 24-hour news cycle. Mm-hmm. And it's chaotic. They're at the New York Stock Exchange. And he says, what I'm about to tell you, With the audience, what I'm about to tell you is, you know, gonna be pretty much big stuff. You know, paraphrasing, it's all on the VFN Torch. And at that particular time, since I already knew and God had been preparing us, and even in this prophetic experience, this dream, I was already getting ready to gather my stuff. I was at my workplace, and mm-hmm. I was getting ready to get my stuff to leave because I knew what he was about to share. I already knew in advance.
Right.
And this is the thing. This is why we're sharing what we're sharing on VFN Radio, so that you can know in advance, so that, you know, God doesn't do anything without telling, you know, his prophets, his people. And you're being informed, you're being educated so that you can be alert, so we can know the signs of the times that are before us. And so he comes back and he says, you know, everyone's glued to the television, that in 6 minutes, the mm-hmm. world, you know, the world's going to change as you know it.
Wow.
And there's just so much about that, you know, that the money has become, you know, idolatry and all these different things that are happening. And we have to be prepared. We have to be alert. We have to know what is happening, because the times are short.
Right.
The times are short, and we can't just fall into anything.
Right.
Especially when God's word speaks so clear. Especially when God's word speaks so clear. So I want to educate you, visit the torch, listen to more of these segments in depth, and share them with your friends and your family. But be aware, God is speaking to us, and you can be in the know. We'll be right back. You know, Greg, you ever had a conversation with a believer, and you ask them, you know, hey, what is God saying today? What's the Lord saying to you today? And oftentimes you'll sometimes hear back, well, you know, my pastor preached last Sunday on XYZ. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, you know, that's cool. I mean, I appreciate that. That's awesome. But what did God say to you today?
Right.
And you get this puzzled look back.
It can be really frustrating as a minister, can't it? Have you ever heard this Jesus you profess? You know.
Well, let me tell you, yeah. Abiding is about what God is saying to you individually. Yeah. That God desires to speak to you, and he's going to speak to you through his word. Mm-hmm. You know, I love John 10. It says, my sheep know my voice.
Yes.
And I remember when I began to start to abide, mm-hmm. and it was just the most beautiful thing to hear that God wanted to speak to me through his word. You know, if you're out there and you wanted to hear God's voice and you want to know God in an intimate way and hear what he's saying to you specifically about your situation, because God cares about you.
Yes, he
cares about everything that's happening in your life, what you're going through. And the Bible is not a history book, but it's a living book, because it comes from the author. And God wants to speak to you directly about your situation and your life and how much he loves you. You know, if you go to iabide.org, you can request a simple plan just to learn how to abide, how to spend time with him and hear his voice. I encourage you to do that. iabide.org. Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and I'm hosting today, and joining with me is Pat. We're going to be going to the extra hour. Thank you for joining us in the first hour, and thank you for being a part. And we just have so many exciting things to be speaking about to you in the extra hour. We're going to be talking about wisdom moments. We're going to be talking about, you know, it's a time to pray. And we're going to talk a little bit more about what we talked about in the first hour. And that was, you know, this RFID chip. We're going to talk more about this in detail. And I just want to encourage you. I want to encourage you to stay plugged in. I want to encourage you to stay, you know, informed. And I want you to listen intently, because we got much, much more to share. Well, God bless you, and we'll join you in the extra hour.
Well, we're coming to the end of the first hour. We had such a wonderful time. Don't forget to catch us in the extra hour beginning in just a moment. For those that are leaving us, you can catch us at bfntv.com or catch the second half, the extra hour, on your mobile device, your iPhone, your Android, and all those wonderful places at bfntv.com. You're listening to VFN Radio. For those that are sticking with us, we'll see you on the other side.